Tonight on the Goblin's Corner,
creature harvesting.
That's how we roll. 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 That's how we roll.
Welcome to the Goblin's Corner. My name is Eric.
And I'm Matt.
And tonight,
we're doing creature harvesting.
Absolutely. This is something that there's lots of rules for in various games, but it's something that I have noticed over the years that lots of people do, i.e. harvesting creatures.
Sure.
And no one really plays with it a lot, or they should play with it more, I think. This is something that you and I have talked about over the years as well, which gives you massive flavor, pardon the pun, using your element in your game for different things, whether it's for magic, whether it's for literally to cook stuff up. And
some dragon steaks, man.
Yeah, it's dragon steaks. And especially in D&D with the, what is it, the cooking feet now?
Yeah, this the chef feet.
The chef feet. Yeah, the chef feet. Perfect time to have this kind of talk about it, right? Yeah. So we're going to talk about creature harvesting, what you can do, and ways to add this to your game if it doesn't have it already. But before we get to that,
we've got a question of the week.
Of course we do. So Matt, hit me up. What do we got?
Since we're talking about creature harvesting, and since you're a creature.
That I am, yes.
If adventurers were to harvest you.
Me?
Mm-hmm. For parts.
Okay.
What would they harvest you for, and to what effect?
Well, if I was put down like an elk, I'm running through the woods from a party of adventurers, and they blasted me with a magic missile, or the ranger finally did something and shot me with a bow, and I went down, they started to gut me, they would find my liver to be very intoxicating and delicious.
That's fair.
And as you mentioned before, my tongue would be venomous.
Yes.
And those are the two things that I have that I can think of. Now, we've talked about this as well. Going on a morbid side, if I were to ever die, I want to be cremated.
Right.
I'm not dying, guys, but I just want to let you guys know. If I'm dead...
If a team of adventurers comes and gets you.
It kills me. Right. I want to be cremated. But because I make things in life, I'm an artist, as you can tell from all of the stuff behind me and behind Matt, predominantly,
yes.
I would like my body to be made into something that's useful. So, first off, I would like my skull to be made into some kind of drinking goblet.
Sure.
Maybe some kind of nice pewter stand that you can, or you can just drink out of it like Conan if you want. I don't care. I'm dead. I'll be dead at that point. Stupid adventures would have killed me.
No. I think what we're actually going to do is seal the bottom and turn your skull into an actual bottle is what we're going
to
do.
To store rum?
Yeah.
Well, gin would be preferable for me. As my drink of choice. And my femur should be made into a wind instrument. Playing the flute.
Sure.
And I know that you've already got dibs on my knuckle bones.
I mean, somebody's got to make proper dice out of them.
I would approve of that.
I figured.
Do what you will with the rest of it. Burn it. Scatter it to the four winds. Stick it in an urn so that my undead spirit will guard a bookshelf somewhere. Tell people not to bend the spine back. How terrible it would be. Anyhow, so yeah, those would be my two parts for harvesting that I think would have some use. Now, you would have something different, I assume.
Yes and no. I think, on the other hand, if you harvested my liver, it's probably resistance to poison.
I believe that.
That you'd get for it.
Sure.
I don't know what else you could harvest me for. I mean, you could use my blood for a growth potion.
Yeah, your pituitary gland would definitely create gigantism.
Enlarge
potion. Yeah, absolutely. I could see that. You don't wear glasses either, so someone could use your eyes.
Sure.
I don't know. I'm just thinking of options here.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to think about harvesting your body parts all this weekend.
Okay.
Have you ever harvested someone's body parts? Hopefully not. But if you have, write to us. info@goblinscorner.com. Or you could reach me, eric@goblinscorner.com.
Or me, matt@goblinscorner.com.
And of course, we're on all of the things. And We chat a lot on Twitter, so if you have a question, hit us up on Twitter too.
Yeah.
We're chatty.
You know what I really missed the opportunity to do tonight?
What did you miss?
I lost my mind, apparently. I definitely should have been wearing my Kidney Thieves t-shirt.
That would be perfect.
I feel like I have failed this already.
You have. You failed. Sorry. Too bad. You can wear it next episode, and people will wonder, why is he wearing a Kidney Thieves t-shirt? Wasn't Creature Harvesting last week?
Right.
It's fine. All right. So let's talk a little bit about Creature Harvesting. Now, if you don't know what we're talking about here, oftentimes in many games, particularly D&D, but it can be anything, really. We did this in a Traveler's game years back when we killed a couple aliens. We took some vials.
Sure.
Most of the characters that I have run games for often have little boxes or vials of things to put pieces of monsters in, because you never know when they'll be useful. So what exactly is Creature Harvesting, Matt?
It's basically collecting various parts of monsters to aid in spell research or magic item creation or alchemy, or basically finding any sort of use you can from bits and bobs from monsters.
Yeah, waste not, want not, right?
Exactly.
And it's a great thematic that you can add to your game. You can add a little bit of mechanics to it as well, but
sure,
predominantly it's just for fun.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of fun. And it's something that, especially if you play with a bunch of people who are very crazy about their character sheets, like Matt, his character, literally his equipment sheet is often pages long.
That is absolutely correct.
Every time, which is great. You know, I'm fine with that. Then it's a fun thing to add, again, for some flavor, right? So why would we add any type of creature harvesting to a particular game? There's lots of different reasons. Give me a couple.
Well, first off, as an alternate form of treasure for creatures where treasure doesn't make sense.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, give them, in addition to gold or magic items,
yeah,
pieces of dragon talon that you can turn into a weapon.
Or, okay, so ankhegs are a great example. They spit acid. They're terrible critters. They dissolve most of what would normally be considered loot.
Yes.
I know gold doesn't necessarily dissolve in most acids, but you know what I'm saying. Okay, but a vial of acid is 25 gold. If you let them harvest the acid from the ankheg,
it's free.
It's free.
And they killed the ankheg.
Right.
So you get eeps and loot all in one. Also, there's a lot of monsters that don't give out loot. Undead, yeah, for example, generally don't have treasure.
Sure.
Most beasts don't have treasure, and there's a lot of nasty beasts.
Yeah, a lot of things that are mindless don't have treasure.
Sure.
A lot of your oozes and slimes and stuff like that. But as you know, brown mold is one of the most useful things in the game.
Oh, man, you can make a fridge out of it.
Exactly.
It's wonderful. So this is a good example of just alternate treasure.
Yep.
Lots of fun stuff. It's also a way to inspire players to work on some particular custom spells or custom magic items, as I mentioned before. You guys are unsure of what we're talking about, go check out our custom spells episode literally right before this one.
Yeah, that's true.
You can use monster parts for stuff like that.
Yeah.
What else?
Thematics. Storytelling.
Yeah, so kind of beating the dead horse here. It's all about thematics, but this is a fun way to add a little bit of flavor to your game. If you're writing some homebrew stuff, if you're doing something, even just running off a module, this is something to kind of think outside the box, add a little bit more to your game, and have fun with stuff.
That's true. It could be used as a method to shortcut magic item creation.
So instead of spending 6 months for a very rare item or however long it takes in the DMG, you can have some alternate rules. Maybe if you got the heart of a ant keg, we'll go back to ant keg thing here, this nasty acidic heart, maybe you're making an acid weapon.
Yeah.
Cuts that time by a couple weeks or even in half.
Yeah.
You know, whatever the DM's feeling froggy with, because as we know, very basic rules for, especially in 5th edition, for magic item creation. I mean, I'm not spending 3 years to make a very rare item, or what is it, like 20 years for a legendary?
Yeah.
I mean, I know that's much more kind of in real life. He spent his entire life to make this one legendary item. Nobody does that.
No,
your characters,
man,
aren't going to do that.
You know what I did? I murdered that diva, and its thigh bone is the club that I'm currently using.
Sure. Yeah. That's exactly what's going to happen. Yeah, so go murder some monsters for some legendary items.
Yeah.
That sounds great to me. It's a great side quest.
Yeah, absolutely.
And not just for like magic users, but anybody, theoretically.
Yeah, we're actually going to talk about that in a little bit. But it's also just a great side quest to send people on if you're in between, you know, where you're at in your world quest,
mm-hmm,
or your overarching story. Hey, this wizard over here says he needs a wing from a sturge.
I have newt, toe of frog, ear of bat, and leg of dog.
Yes.
I probably completely screwed that up. It's fine. But yeah, so side quests are great for this. It encourages you to go out into the world. This is, again, you're running a module. It's very linear oriented. If you're writing homebrew stuff, you may not have thought of the world yet.
Right.
And this is something for a storyteller, especially to, oh, now I can build out this part of the world. Or, again, maybe I can break from the very linear-oriented module that I'm running and do something kind of on the side, build that world out, or just kind of give it a little bit more of a little bit more oomph, really.
Yeah. Well, it's also a good way. It's a very short quest, oftentimes. It's a good way to stretch your legs as a DM running without a pre-written module.
Excellent downtime.
Yeah.
Which is another thing. It encourages you to barter.
Sure.
I mean, yeah, that's a cool portable hole, bro, but you want to see what's inside? I've got a whole dragon.
Yeah.
And a whole owlbear. We got a whole owlbear in here. You hungry? They're delicious. The
so
owl
good.
And the bear is so choice. It's a little tangy. It's got the fowl and the, what bear be considered? I guess just
steak.
Yeah.
I mean,
so
it's red meat.
Steak and chicken.
Yeah.
Sure. Why not?
It's turf and turf.
Surf and turf?
Nope. Turf and turf.
Turf and turf. It's just bear and turf. Yeah. So, but you could use monster parts if you don't have enough gold.
Yeah.
You could use the parts because there might be a wizard that's making something or a fighter that needs to forge some dragon armor. He doesn't have a dragon to forge the armor with. Well, you go out and kill that dragon. Guess what? You're in his debt.
Yeah.
He'll do something else for you.
It also gives you an opportunity to play with morals and their implications in a game.
Yes. Yes. The delightful moral quandary that we often talk about on this show.
Yeah, I mean,
because if you're killing an intelligent creature, even a beholder, which is some kind of aberrant monster from the far realm, I mean, he had hopes and dreams too.
I mean, he did.
He hates everybody, but he did. What about a mind flayer? That was once a human.
I mean, yeah, technically true.
What about a flumph?
See, that's...
They're lovable little farting fungi aberration things.
Yeah, no, that's a great example. Let's say harvesting flumps can get you an item or a potion of telepathy.
Sure.
Right? But it's a flumph.
Yeah.
What?
It's a flying spaghetti monster marshmallow that's cute and it's a pacifist.
Yeah. What is that going to do to your alignment?
Oh,
because I'm not letting that slide.
Hell
as a
no,
DM.
Man. Hell no, man. You're going down. You're going chaotic evil in that. How dare you kill that flumph?
Maybe, you know, maybe not on the first go round, but, I keep a sliding scale. That's going to be a big hit.
So what's the flump scale? That's what I want.
Oh, man, that's a big slide.
That's a slide.
That's a freaking slide whistle.
That's not a linear scale. That's definitely something it's got a curve to it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to watch out with the flump scale. So there's a good example. So some kind of moral implication. And, of course, also custom creatures, adding that to your game.
Yes.
And giving it more of that magic to your homebrew world. So if you've got a creature that's composed partially of positive energy, Maybe it'll heal you if you kill it.
Yeah.
Sucks for the creature. Good for you. And of course, if it's negative, and this is something you didn't mention, I was also thinking graphs.
Oh, yeah.
Because there's always one character in the group that's like, oh, man, that Chul looks awesome. I want his claw to be on my arm. Right behind me. I want the ultimate back scratcher. Yeah, you see it now, don't you? That's great.
You're going to lose a spine if it just never sneeze while you're scratching your back. Yeah, you're going to die.
Let's not. Well, there's other things that you could also lose if you use that claw. So let's just, you know, we'll bypass all that.
Yeah. Moving along. So reputations and social implications.
Oh, yeah. If you're killing horrible monsters that have been plaguing a town, your reputation goes up.
Yeah. If you kill the treants that have been guarding this town for literally centuries,
someone's going to be pissed, especially a druid.
Probably lots of someone.
Those elves are going to be mad at you.
Yeah.
If you're clubbing baby flumps,
everybody should hate you.
To fucking hell. That's where you're going. Let me tell you. How dare you, flump killer.
But also just the implications of rolling into town in a suit of dragon scale armor.
Oh. So that wow factor.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. You're styling. Like, there's not a whole lot of cats rolling around that are just like, oh, pardon me. I have some blood on my red dragon scale armor here.
So this is a great example of thematics.
Yeah.
Because it's one thing. The barbarian rolls into town. He's wearing his leather armor or whatever. So what?
Womp, womp.
Yeah. But the barbarian rolls into town. His leather is green and slightly scaled from the green dragon he skinned and sewed together to make his armor. His axe has a, you know, instead of just a regular axe, maybe it's a bone axe that's literally made from the jaw of the dragon he killed.
That's a morning star. I'm going to call that a morning star. That's my ruling on that.
You make it a morning star?
Yeah,
I'm okay with that.
It's basically a large blunt piece that's got spikes in it.
Hmm. Fair enough. Okay, so yeah, so maybe not an axe, but you get the picture here.
Sure. The thing what hurts when you're murdered with it.
Yeah, but the point is, and it doesn't matter what it is, you know, whatever character or whatever game, you make something off of that. You got like this crazy looking trophy. Townspeople are going to be like, that looks like a badass.
Yeah.
Straight up.
I mean, if you're playing an Aliens or Predator game and you've got a couple Xenomorph skulls for shoulder pads, like, okay, this dude's A, crazy, but B,
knows how to party. If you're killing xenomorphs for a living, man, you live fast and die young. Let me tell you, xenomorphs aren't fucking around with.
Leave a melted corpse.
Yeah. Also, and you mentioned, I mentioned helping melee classes. So talk to me about that a little bit more in depth.
Well, one of the things is it will allow them to do is they get on the customization game also, right? Because generally speaking, wizards design new spells. Sorcerers can design new spells. Maybe bards.
Artificers. Sure.
But melee people tend to be kind of just left out on the whole customization thing.
Smack it till it's dead and buy something.
Yep. My plate armor has a skull on it. My plate armor has a sun on it. My plate armor, blah, blah, blah. It's, yeah, I mean, you do what you can with what you're given, but
that's kind of boring.
Why not give them more options?
So give them some options that they can do because they're good at killing things.
Yeah.
Martial classes are great at that. So let them use their ability for killing. And oftentimes, some, especially like rogues and other types of classes like that, often have skills that are unused,
yeah,
or proficiencies that they, you know, just basically thrown around. So you could have them either with a new proficiency or new skill, you know, whatever game system you're running, you could have some kind of ability where they could put stuff together, right?
Yeah. You could also make rangers more useful by giving them a creature harvesting skill.
I would be down with that.
I mean, anything that can make a ranger more useful.
That's true. Watch out. There's a lot of ranger love on the net.
It's It's honestly funny. Like, yeah, they're kind of the butt of a joke, but they're not useless. They're just not as useful as they ought to be.
Fair enough.
Is my stance on that. But you mentioned this earlier. Monsters are delicious.
Absolutely. Well, when we go into stupid monsters and creating your own custom monsters, one of the first things that we ask is, what's it taste like?
Yeah.
Because there's going to be someone out there that eats the monster.
Yes.
If you're fighting a giant crab, guess what?
Tastes like crab.
It tastes like crab. You don't need rations for the week.
No.
For the month, really. It depends, depends on the crab.
Seafood, you really ought to eat it fresh.
Ah, fair enough. Yeah. You gotta watch yourself with that.
Because,
That's a poison.
That's
right
bad
there.
Times.
Unless you've got some of the brown mold.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
And you have a fridge.
Or, you know, there's a cleric spell for that. General repose.
Good point. Yeah, to preserve food.
Stay fresh.
Now, if you're rocking in the cybernetic world and Shadowrun, for example, might be some other types of fun things you can eat, although I don't know what.
Dinos, man.
They got dinos in Shadowrun?
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah, they do. Or, I guess, cranium. No, cranium rats don't exist in Shadowrun. What are they called? What are those stupid rats called? Devil rats.
Devil
that's what
rats.
They are. Yeah, you guys ever see a mean little bastards? They're just like naked rats. They don't have any hair, and they're just kind of pissed off, and they got these big red eyes.
Delicious.
Yeah, you knew someone was cooking that up, man. Putting in the gumbo.
Man, please.
Hell yeah. So that's always fun. Again, once again, for thematics, something you can do, and this could also provide a benefit to your player characters as well.
Sure.
All right, so talked a little bit about why you should add this to your game, regardless of the game. Let's talk about some other options. Now, we've gone kind of heavy into fantasy on this stuff, and we tend to.
Right.
But there's a lot of non-fantasy options, and I kind of mentioned the devil rats, but give me a couple other examples.
Oh, okay, so you come across a new species. Let's say they're aggressive. You could use bits and pieces of it in like a sci-fi setting to determine what the weaknesses or the possible uses of new alien species are of any type.
So maybe check out the genetics behind it.
Yeah.
Find out what it's capable of or what it's susceptible to.
Yeah. You could harvest poisons that don't have cures yet for assassinations, political factions, business rivals. Like that could fit into any place that you want to poison somebody.
Sure.
It's any setting, every setting. I want to poison somebody. Somebody deserves poisoning.
Oh, there's going to be some political assassinations in like the Star Trek game, for example. You could see that.
Yeah.
Or Star Wars. Of course, I can always see myself playing Star Wars, but I particularly see this in like a Star Trek or a Traveler's campaign.
Yeah.
Because both of those have, depending upon the game you're running, have some options for intrigue.
Yeah.
You know, you pour some Jethunian blind worm into your Romulan ale. Take a couple swigs. Oh, man, the ambassador's dead. What killed him? Who knows? Now everybody's looking around.
Too late to worry about it
now.
Yeah,
and there's not enough Scotsmen to figure that one out. Potential cures to disease is going on the poison here.
Right.
Maybe it's curing some disease, right? And then, you know, just some friendly black market organ sharing.
Sure.
Maybe it's an aphrodisiac.
Could be. You could use it for splicing genetic mods.
Ah, so we have the fantasy flesh warping option, but now we're going more of gingineering.
Yes.
So you are a street samurai, and you're getting some BioWare grafted, maybe some new muscle replacement or something, but instead of using the human-based, maybe you've got something like a dinosaur, right?
Yeah.
I got T-Rex legs, baby.
You better have their legs, because having their arms isn't very helpful.
That's true. They're very nubby. Like this. I mean, they're human-sized arms, so it might work. T-Rex doesn't need them. Can't use him for anything. What's he using? He can't pick anything up with those tiny little arms, but on a human, perfect.
Except
even on
they're
a troll.
Still shaped, kind of.
That's going to be awesome. I'm going to make a street sam with T-Rex arms now. That's going to totally be.
Okay.
And finally.
You could capture them for so many reasons. For pets, for zoos, for labor,
for
riding, experimentation.
For riding. I want a dinosaur to roam.
I mean, let's face it.
If you're in the urban jungle riding around with a fucking dinosaur, you're the boss.
My troll physical adept needs an ankylosaur.
Yes.
Yes.
Go roll into Seattle with an ankylosaur, just kind of yeehaw. No one's gonna mess with you. Then they're like, damn, that troll's badass.
And that ankylosaur will destroy a vehicle.
Oh yeah.
Check please. I'm just.
Go ahead. Yeah. Go ahead, Lone Star. Roll that Panzer up. We'll see who wins on that one. I don't care if you got carbon armor or not. So these are just a couple of options for your campaign to play around and just have fun.
Yeah. Right? Give people some options.
Give some story ideas. I mean, you roll up, like I said, you roll up with a troll with a riding a dinosaur, your players are going to talk about that. That's something that people will talk about for years from now.
And that's not even technically, I mean, it's kind of harvesting. You're just literally taking the whole creature, but
yeah,
you've defeated the creature probably with an automatic trank gun.
You would have to pump it full of God, what would knock a dinosaur out? That'd take a lot.
An automatic trank gun.
That's fair. All right, yeah, fair enough. Well, I'm just trying to think of what was in it.
Although shooting needled objects at an ankylosaur is
not really going to work unless you aim for the mouth.
Yeah.
Or the eyes.
Go for the little feet.
Oh yeah. Get him on the paw. Not a bad idea. All right. Let's move right along. So we've got a couple of quick and dirty rules that we can provide in exchange for adding some flavor to your campaign. So first off, provide it in lieu of loot. We mentioned this earlier.
Sure.
So just the first thing you can do, just give some dinosaur parts, right? You can literally, you've killed the blank, right? You've killed the alien. You've killed the monster. You've killed the dragon, the beholder, that terrible doppelganger. It's worth something.
Yeah.
So giving it some kind of implied value.
And speaking of that, it should be worth something to someone other than just the PCs, right? Wizards or engineers or anything like that. If you're allowing creature harvesting and your players aren't using it, then those bits should be useful to someone for value.
And I'm glad that you mentioned that, because if that is true, what's the world like with this kind of value system? So people kill each other over gold. What are they going to do for this creature part?
Yeah. Which is why no one is going to know that I have a glass jar full of beholder eyes.
Well, people might steal that. What does that look like? They might trade, like you said, on the black market, beholder eyes. What does that look like? That might be illegal or taboo.
Yeah.
So it depends on the society. What could they use them for? So not just for, I don't know, like some kind of race spell, but it could also be, maybe it's decoration. Maybe it's for scrying. Maybe it's just a bowl, like a big old, like they use the lens for a bowl.
Sure.
And just eat their cereal out of it.
You know, a giant dragon skull as the entryway into your keep. That's a statement piece.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's... You definitely mean business if you've got a dragon skull in the front of your keep.
You're either a very good guy or a very bad guy.
I'm leaning towards the latter.
I know you are.
I'm just saying, like, if you see a dragon skull and that's a doorway, it's probably the latter. But badass is either way, right?
Right.
Either the builder's the badass or the person who owned it, who drug that dragon back. Like, think about how big that dragon would have to be, man.
Well, think about how big a dragon is. It would have to be an older dragon, obviously.
Yeah, fair enough.
Okay, so we know that you can provide it in lieu of loot. We know that it's considered valuable to the general populace.
But there's some complications.
Sure. It's made out of stuff. It's made out of flesh. It might not... do you have a way of keeping it fresh, and does that matter?
Do you have some brown mold that you can use as a refrigerator?
Yes.
Do you have a portable hole? Do you have access to gentle repose? Do you have some kind of cryogenic chamber to store the alien body parts?
Yeah, just giant freaking fridge ship.
Extra dimensional plane that you can just toss crap in. You got to have a figure.
Something.
Yeah, something. Got to figure a way to store that stuff because it's going to go bad. And this is a cool thing to consider because the value may change according to how fresh
it is.
Maybe you need only the freshest beholder blood. for whatever reason.
Better be ready to haul back to town.
Or have a teleport scroll ready. Yep. Something, right? Something. Because that could change. Because if it's even a day old, it drops 50%. Now, this presents a couple other options, because now, in addition to having different types of value, you now have a very fun time frame that you can run your characters against.
Sure. That makes sense.
Because now you're on, if you got to get back in town within a certain time frame, you could throw bandits at them, other monsters. You might be having to get out of Dodge. If you're deep in a underground catacomb, you might have to run past other monsters just so you could get back to sell this thing.
Yeah. That if could be a lot of fun.
If it's a cure, potency.
Yeah.
So those are lots of different options, I think, that are kind of fun.
I agree. I think it's about time for us to break for a commercial.
I believe so. So we'll be right back.
After these messages.
This is a commercial break. If you guys would like to hear us review something like a product or service, or if you'd like us to cover something like a topic,
or if you'd like to sponsor an episode, we'd love to hear from you and have you contact us at info@goblinscorner.com.
So write to us, and maybe we'll talk to you. Maybe not. And we're back.
Welcome back.
All right, so we were talking a little bit about monster parts, creature harvesting, and we mentioned kind of the time frame, so playing it like things are going to go bad in a certain amount of time, and that could be either decreasing in value or potency or poison effectiveness and so on. So what else can we talk about as far as some quick and dirty rules for creature harvesting?
So what if you use them to provide minor bonuses to what would normally be a normal magic item, right? Or a normal item. You take a tooth out of a dragon,
mm-hmm,
and you enchant it. Normally it would be a +1 dagger. Now it's a +1 dagger, but adds an additional point of fire damage or an additional point of ice damage or what have you.
Yeah, that makes sense. So nothing that would unbalance gameplay, but again, providing just a kind of a minor bonus.
Yeah, with that extra flavor.
A little extra flavor, right? It's like a point of fire damage. No one's going to care. However, that might be really cool. What if it just automatically starts fires?
Sure.
9 times out of 10, you're never going to use that. But the one time you need some flint and tinder, you've got this fire dragon tooth.
Yeah, man, you just...
one port of fire damage, just keep doing it, just kind of jabbing it into the wood, and eventually it smolders and catches fire.
Sure.
How cool is that? That's super a fun... easy.
And, you know...
very, very, like, common... well, maybe not even common, but I mean, like, very low-powered magic item, right?
It basically replaces flint and tinder.
I could see an evil bad guy using it to just, you know.
Already there, man.
I know. We have ways of making you talk.
Oh, no, we were in a different place.
Oh, really? Well, what were you talking about?
Oh, I was just talking about, you know, you chuck the dagger over somebody's palisade right into a thatch roof.
Oh,
start burning
nice.
The town down.
Sure.
Before you even get through the wall.
I'm an arsonist. Now, here's something I was also thinking, and this is another, you guys should do this. Magical tattoos are a thing.
Sure.
But what about using a magic dagger for tattoos? So branding.
Yeah.
If you've got a dragon tooth that deals a point of fire damage, basically ritual carvings and cauterizing the carvings at the same time. How sure. cool is that? Again,
absolutely
more flavor, right?
Yeah. You could also do that with a cold one.
You could. And you could get warts off as well. Unsightly warts off your character. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Many uses for this sort of thing. So that's a great example. Now, one thing where this minor benefit should be an exception is in terms of item creation.
Yeah.
So what do you mean by that?
So basically, in a lot of games, item creation takes the unnecessary amount of time to the point where it actually detracts from gameplay.
It takes forever.
Yeah.
Or it's really expensive.
Right. Once again, going back to my Diva Femur, right? Getting an item like that as my base starting point for a magic item should significantly decrease that time slash
only the finest money. Diva femurs as well. You
know? Yeah, man. They
right from Mount Celestia, like fresh.
Yeah, man. Singing space operas and everything.
It did, yeah. That's great. I love that.
Went a little Fifth Element on it.
I'm fine with that, too. Multipass. So, monster parts could be substituted, in this case, for time involved.
Yeah.
Or even money.
Sure.
XP.
Or a little combo of all three.
Yeah. Whatever's required to make a magic item, or even like a sci-fi type item as well. A good example of that is in, like, Starfinder. Which I know is technically
fantasy sci-fi.
That's fantasy sci-fi, but some are so like organic weapons and stuff like that.
You could also do it for something like Farscape.
Farscape would be perfect for that, and there is a role-playing game for Farscape.
There is, yes.
Go check it out, guys.
There's no real fantasy element to Farscape. Not really. It's mostly sci-fi, but using it to study biological weapons. They've got biological ships. It's certainly not unlikely that they would have biological weapons.
Sure. Or Dune is another one. There's a Fallout role-playing game as well.
Sure.
So there's another sci-fi example that you could use for some kind of biological weapon system. There's all kinds of options for that. If you want a robot eyes, you can go kill a beholder or a gibbering mouther. I think a gibbering mouther is definitely the way to go for a robe of eyes. But it should be a robe of mouths.
See, I was just about to say that. This is why we get along, folks.
I want a gibbering cloak.
Yes.
That would be it. Now, here's a great idea for custom magic items.
Right.
That thematically, this could be kind of similar, right? But this doesn't break the game. It could, but it doesn't necessarily break the game. This is something that players can come up with on their own, run it by the storyteller, and be like, look, I've got nothing in my portable hole but just a whole bunch of gibbering mouthers. I want to make a cloak out of it, a gigantic royal cloak.
Yeah.
Okay. Just a bunch of gnashing teeth the whole time. Gibber, 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 gibber.
I've got a backpack full of xenomorph blood. I've seen what happens when they bleed on the floor.
Oh, man. You
make a hole.
Destroy everything with that. You want to make sure that the bad guy's dead? No problem.
Melt him.
Yeah, melt him down. So, great example. Portable hole. Now, this is a good example. What was it that used to be made out of spider silk? Was that a portable hole? Face spider silk?
Face spider silk.
Yeah. So, used to be, and I don't know if it still is now, and if it is, someone let me know, but it used to be portable holes had face spider silk in the construction, in the description of the magic items, which I think was really cool. So, if you happen to be on the ethereal plane and... you know, you're just hacking away at a whole bunch of face spiders. You got a whole nest of them just chilling. Then guess what? You're in the market to make some portable holes, guys.
That's right.
You're in business now.
I'm not in the market. I'm keeping all of them.
Yeah. You're not just an adventurer. You're a business owner. You're an entrepreneur. So, great example. Let's talk about some other rules.
I think you should probably accommodate multiple methodologies for harvesting. If a red dragon isn't big enough to make plate armor with, right? It's just, you got a relatively small one.
So it's a tiny little dragon.
Right. You take his blood.
Okay.
You just squeeze him out like an orange, right?
Wring it dry.
Yeah. And then you get a new.
I love this middle image. I'm sorry. Continue.
So you get a new set of plate armor. Mm-hmm. You start to get it enchanted and you have it quenched in the red dragon's blood.
That could work the same.
Right.
Even a different effect, which would be fun as well.
Could do. You could go either. You could have a set of flaming plate armor or a set of flame resistant plate armor. You can go either way with it.
Yeah. So basically saying make use of the other parts of the creature if possible. And if not, then do something either similar to the effect or just go crazy and do something different.
Sure.
I'm down with all of that. So let's consider the implications of all of that as well, because if you are killing monsters, most of them are usually the top dog in the food chain, you would think. Now, magic, if you're playing with the magic world, all bets are off. but you would think they're apex predators.
Certainly in the case of red dragons
and
whatnot.
If you're going griffin slaying, griffins, you know, they eat a lot of horse.
It's true.
They eat anything really smaller than the griffin.
Right.
So what happens when the griffin is dead?
Well, in a couple of years, you get more horses. And something moves in that starts eating horses.
Right, like owlbears.
Owlbears, rocks.
Rocks, oh yeah, rock could definitely eat a horse. What if you kill off all the rocks? Or if you kill off the dragon that is terrorizing the town? Well, that's a good thing, usually.
Sure.
But what if it's not? Again, going into these tricky moral implications. So consider these implications. If that was true, what else is true?
Yeah.
And this is something mostly for the, it don't necessarily have to be a moral quandary, but it could be something for the DM to consider because, okay, you killed the red dragon. Now, there was a party of kobolds that worshipped the red dragon, as kobolds often do.
Sure.
Now they're pissed. They got nothing to do when they were just fawning over the red dragon. Now their tiny little minds are bent to some other task. What task could that be? Could it be messing with you guys?
The absolute destruction of these infidels.
Could it be trying to attract a different dragon, a nastier dragon, yeah, into the town? Right? So this, you know, every action has a consequence. So this would be some kind of fun way to throw those consequences into your game.
You should think carefully about that. And like dragon after dragon. I mean, it is Dungeons and Dragons.
It's true.
But
you should throw a dungeon in there instead. I'm totally in agreement with that.
I appreciate you following exactly where I was going. That's not where I was going. No. But yeah, you know, switch it up. Add a new apex predator, what have you. But I think one of the things you should consider is if you've got a rogue who's very dexterous,
mm-hmm,
he, she, they are probably going to attempt skinning or what have you.
You would think, yes.
But what about your wizard? Maybe they're not exactly super dexterous, or they're not very strong. How are they going to go about harvesting? So I think maybe your mage is just like, oh, well, yeah, the rogue is doing a great job cutting out very carefully all the little muscles around the eyeball. But if you just use a spoon to pop it right out, then you can just sever the nerve. So I think, you know, allow people to use their strength.
I agree with that. So giving them different types of ways to cut pieces off of creatures, is what you're saying.
Sure.
Different methodologies. So it could be an int check versus a dex check.
Right. Now, if it simply doesn't make sense, then it doesn't make sense.
Right. And again, we're talking about harvesting now. So you've killed the creature. And again, we'd mentioned, in addition to that, the quality of the harvest. So the skill check might yield maybe the gallbladder of the illithid. It's delicious. And psionically enhanced gallbladder. You might get a better quality gallbladder cut than if, you know, the wizard went in there and tried to screw around with the knife, right?
Right.
He's like, I don't know, it's a damn dagger.
I'm gonna trust the person that can do sneak attacks to do the fine motor skill.
There's a reason they're called the expert.
Right.
So, yeah, so you might get different quality of goods with a different skill check. And again, this is fun to mess around with in your game. Now, what I always wonder about is, how are you going to haul all this stuff back? Now, some games don't play with encumbrance, but there is a line to be drawn when you're hauling the carcass of a blue dragon.
Yes.
Or a rock. I mean, that's a big chicken, dude.
Yeah.
That's a chicken the size of a house. Bigger.
Yes.
Bigger.
They've got longer wings. Well, it depends on the house.
Depends on the chicken, right? Now, you want those wings. You want to barbecue them down. That's good eating.
It is.
I mean, you're going to have to find a bathtub full of hot sauce, but you're going to want those that rock. How are you going to carry it? Tensors isn't going to carry that for you.
No.
Nah, man. No. Not for that. Not for that wing. You could cut it up, but then maybe you mess up the flavor.
I mean, maybe, but what if you don't want to cut it up? What if your plan eventually is to
open up a giant wing store for storm giants?
No. We're going to turn this into an airship.
I was thinking of a Buffalo Wild Wings for storm giants.
Sure.
It would be great. Sure. Just serve nothing but rock wings and some delicious hot sauce.
I want to turn it into an airship.
An airship? Yeah. Oh, so you're talking.
Bones are hollow.
Sure. Make a plane out of it. Or make a spelljammer out of it.
Sure.
Please bring us back spelljammer for the love of God. So how are you gonna haul this stuff off? How are you gonna put it together? So we're thinking logistics here.
Right.
Is it valuable to the point that others want to rob you of it? We mentioned this, the value of said piece of carcass.
Sure. If you've got a wagon with a large dead beholder on it, there's a chance that someone is going to attempt to take that from you.
Possibly.
But there's also a chance that people are going to say, these are the people that killed a large beholder.
Do I really want to steal that?
Perhaps I will just mind my own damn business.
Back up. We mentioned the lifespan of the cargo. How fresh is it?
Yeah.
And whether it's carved from a living creature versus a week old corpse. Now, this is something to interject. What if you need to age the creature for maximum flavor? You're making beef jerky.
Yeah. I mean, there are types of shark that are very unhealthy to eat unless they've been aged for a while.
I can believe that.
Yeah.
I will believe that, in fact. I do believe that.
That's good.
You've got a face that makes me believe it. Does the monster provide a single-use item versus multiple-use options?
That is something that your DM should use to justify some absolutely ludicrous shit.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Go hog wild on that. Yeah.
For a one-shot item, like just not world-breaking, right? But just, go a little crazy with it. Be silly.
So here's another logistical question that you can throw in either as a rule or as a story element. Who works on dead flesh? Who? Now, in medieval times, you've got like a tanner.
Sure.
And that's the extent of my knowledge. But there's also like alchemists and mages and stuff like that. So who would partake in the monstrous vittles, right?
Right. But you could have doctors that want to actually
study
Yeah.
Sure. They want to study the demon carcass. Or you have an alchemist that wants to brew something from the purple worm that you slayed. Or, again, you have a tanner that wants to make some leather goods.
Yeah. Mages that want to make spells.
Yeah. Mages got to make. Is this a common practice in your game? Again, going with if that was true, what else is true? There may be monster tanning, and it's completely different from the standard tannery that you have.
That's true. You might have literally monster stores or monster hunting guilds.
Imagine if you have giant creatures and you have giant bones, maybe that is a base material for which to work from. So I'm thinking scrimshaw.
Sure.
Or even just, I don't have enough timber.
Yes.
And so I'm killing a bunch of giant monsters to make a house.
Absolutely. Man, lash together a mammoth. And you've got the basis for a one-room house.
Sure. What are the common practices for that? So if it's a large city, you might have someone there. If it's a small city, do you have that sort of specialty service? Or is it part of just, typical service?
Yeah, is it just part of life?
Bring in a cow, butcher cuts the cow up. You bring in a owlbear, butcher cuts up the owlbear.
Right. Or even, it might even be more common on a frontier town.
Sure. He might look at you funny, but
maybe.
I mean, it's going in the stew.
Yeah,
so,
man. Illithid calamari, I'm just saying.
Oh, man. Now, talking about food, let's talk a little bit about food.
All right. You kill something.
Mm-hmm.
Is it a delicacy?
Like fugu?
Yeah. Or how's it prepared? That could very well matter when dealing with monsters.
A lithid brain should be a delicacy. I think that would be not only funny, but ironic.
It would also be cannibalism.
Good point. Okay, maybe not.
I'm just saying.
It's a fantasy game. It probably happened in some game.
It's a fantasy game, but it's still cannibalism.
Fair enough. All right, so interesting.
I'm not saying it makes you evil. But it's still cannibalism.
But it is cannibalism. You should not do cannibalism, guys. Just saying. Okay, so how is this delicacy prepared?
Well, obviously with fava beans and a nice Chianti.
Fair enough. Okay, so think of other food options here. Now, you've shamed me into not wanting to eat illithid brains.
I couldn't resist, sorry.
What are the benefits after consumption of monster? I mean, you may just get full.
Right. Might just be a nice, healthy meal.
Owlbear steak may just be delicious and fulfilling, slightly chewy. Or maybe you get slightly stronger. Maybe it's really healthy. Maybe it's a superfood like blueberries.
Maybe it gives you dark vision for a day.
Maybe it just makes you pissed off because you ate an owlbear.
I don't know. I think it's probably delicious.
I'm sure it would be. Is it a taboo item?
Like
illithid brains.
Right. Eating any intelligent creature.
Sure. I mean, that should be a taboo item.
Right.
And if you're eating flump, you're going to hell. I'm just saying. One of them. Yeah, you're going to some hell.
Yeah.
Acheron.
You don't even get to pick
Carcery.
It. Yeah, we're going to roll randomly for your hell.
Yeah, you're just going to go to some hell. How dare you eat those poor little guys? They're just so cute. They fart when they fly. They're just...
Noodly goodness.
Noodly goodness, man. How are you going to store this stuff? We talk about red dragons being huge. You're going to have a dragon-sized fridge. Now, this is kind of funny if you're in a civilization because we talked about city building several episodes ago.
Yeah.
Maybe there's a monster storage. Big-ass cold storage. Maybe it's subterranean.
Sure. We mentioned this before, right? We know that brown molds can make refrigerators.
So maybe you just grow a whole bunch of brown mold and you've got ant keg storage. Yeah. Nothing but vittles.
Some enterprising dwarf is just like, I'm just going to dig a big hole. I'm going to seed some brown mold spores.
And I'm going to store various meats.
Yep. Or anything that needs storage.
Yeah. And you're going to have to protect that too, because that's a lot of food. So and it's almost like having a granary. You kind of have a meatery.
Yes.
That's my word for today is the meatery. Retribution. Let's talk about retribution.
Well, if you kill intelligent things and those intelligent things have families,
they might be pissed.
It's true. And if they are powerful families, then they might be powerfully pissed.
Yep. So think about the implications of killing that. If you kill a red dragon and it's got a mate, the mate's going to come for you. You kill an illithid, nobody's going to care. You kill a flump, everybody hates you. I'm just saying. And speaking of hate, let's talk about biographs. Because if you biograph a flump to you.
Wow.
Yeah, see?
Wow.
You're going dark there, man. That's what I'm thinking.
You're in deep trouble.
How dare you?
Or.
But people want to hug you.
You're clearly evil.
That's definitely evil.
But what if it's not?
What do you mean?
What if the flump was dying?
Oh, and with his dying fart, he psionically contacted your mind and wanted you to, please use my body for its benefit.
Yes.
Kind of Professor X'd you.
Yeah.
And you're just kind of walking around with a half-dead flump on you. And everyone's like, Bob, what's that tumor on your... No, man, it's a flump.
Yeah, it could be a symbiotic sort of thing.
Hmm. So very... Oh, man, I'm going Total Recall. Quaid, open your mind, Quaid.
Sure.
You've seen that, right?
Yes.
Okay, good. Just make sure.
I've read the book.
All right, so those are a couple examples from a thematics perspective, some rules perspective. Let's give a couple just standard examples now. Let's do a little bonus round examples.
All right, let's start with food. We were talking about food.
Red Dragon, that's the first one. What are we going to make?
We're going to make jerky.
Absolutely. What kind of jerky is the Red Dragon going to be?
Clearly, it's spicy jerky.
Yeah.
You cannot have
it. Cayenne, baby. It's got to be. How are you going to dry it, though?
You've got to desiccate it. You can't cook it.
Because it's fire resistant. Because
it's fire resistant. No, it's fire immune.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, so you have to desiccate it.
Just dry it out.
Yeah.
I like that. Okay.
White dragon jerky.
It's cold.
Sure. So here's my theory about white dragon jerky.
I can't wait.
It is the perfect accompaniment right beside your piece of celery.
And some ice wine.
And a Bloody Mary.
Oh, in a Bloody Mary?
Yes.
So like some white dragon jerky inside a Bloody Mary.
Yeah, you know how they use bacon in some places.
It would chill your drink.
Yeah.
Be delicious. I approve of this. Yes, we should do that.
And since we're talking about drinks, I mean, obviously you're going to use oozes for a whiskey sour.
Yeah, got that acid taste to it. I could see that. You could use gelatinous cubes for Jell-O shots.
Obviously.
Obviously, yeah. Just the biggest Jell-O shot in the... That would be, again, opening up that giant restaurant.
Yeah.
Serving spicy rock wings and
Jell-O shots.
And Jell-O shots, man. It's almost like it's, you know, it's almost like it's Panama City, really.
Yeah.
But in a medieval setting.
Sure. I think, I'm pretty sure gelatinous cubes are like lime Jell-O, though.
I'd be down with that.
Yeah. I don't see them being like watermelon Jell-O. They're definitely...
Now green slimes are definitely Sour Patch Kids.
I can see that. I'll give you that. Yeah.
Yeah, we could do that. Armor is another example.
Sure.
Just moving away from food.
Right.
You can use all kinds of things for armor. We won't beat that into the ground. You guys have seen that in every game possible.
Yeah, I mean.
Dragon armor, ant keg armor, chitin armor, armor. Armor's happening.
If it's got skin, it can be made into leather. If it's got scales, it could be, and large enough, it could be made into plate. We got it.
Yep. Yeah. Now, there is one type of armor that I'm going to light upon because no one has done this yet, and I think it would be hilarious. Rust monster armor. Because a rust... you see where I'm going with this?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Once a day, rusting grass, man.
No, or, just somebody hits you. They're going to hit you.
That's going to be pricey, even with providing the components.
That might potentially be game-breaking.
Yeah.
But that's a legendary item.
Yeah.
It would be easy to find the rust monster, but I would say it should be a legendary item because A, it's game breaking, but B, the methodology of killing it must be legendary. So you can't just, you know, whack it to death.
Well, no, you're going to break the armor.
Yeah, exactly. So you have to somehow kill the rust monster in a way that doesn't destroy the armor. And I don't know what that is right now.
Poison. But
you got to poison it. You have to talk dirty to it until it dies.
No, what you do is...
You have to hurt its feelings until it dies.
You take a gold coin and you hollow it out.
Mm-hmm.
And you fill it full of poison. And you take another gold coin and you hollow it out.
You have to find some metal that it will not eat. And then you have to somehow get it to eat the metal until it dies. You have to kill a flump in front of it, and it just dies of sorrow. And that's what's going to happen.
Horror.
Yeah, because the poor thing's that flump?
If these people will kill a flump, what are they going to do to me?
And he just dies of fright.
All right. So, yeah, armor. We got it.
Enhancements?
Sure. Of any type. I mean.
Sure. So, biotech, grafts, potions, all that stuff, right? In whatever... Gives you a bonus or gives you a detriment.
We have miscellaneous down here. Miscellaneous is all of the not armor, not weapon things that you can do. Maybe using stuff to make wands, stuff to make staves, non-standard objects.
Cubic gates.
Sure.
Just thinking of random items.
What would you make of wonder? You can make a cubic gate out of a Modron.
Oh, that would be awesome. Definitely one is going to Mechanus.
Clearly.
Bones and body parts, spell-like abilities. We talked about spells. And then weapon enhancements is a great one.
Absolutely. I mean...
And that's under enhancements too, but like not physical enhancements, but enhancements for weapons, which we mentioned. And finally...
Collecting poisons.
Right. So just venomous creatures that you just collect, storm in vials.
Yeah, because the poison rules in a lot of games are a little soft these days. You're like, oh, it does 2d6 points of damage. Oh, it does this. But then you come across creatures who stab you with their stinger and melt your entire insides, and you're like, wait a second.
You turn blue, your arm falls off, it does the hokey pokey, and then half of your body melts. Make a con check. That's the kind of stuff that you're like, you know what? When I kill this thing, I'm definitely picking up some of its venom.
Yep.
Turn it into a poison. It's going to be fun at parties. So there you have it. A couple of ideas.
Yeah, I think we've covered a lot of ground, at least.
We've cut it into pieces, I would say. Pardon the pun there. It's a couple ideas that you can use for your games. Fantasy, sci-fi, whatnot. Enjoy hacking those monsters to pieces and selling their body parts on the black market. I'm just saying.
Sure.
Do you have any other ideas for creature harvesting that you would like to share with us or the rest of the group? Write to us, info@goblinscorner.com, or you can reach me, Eric@goblinscorner.com.
Or me, Matt@goblinscorner.com.
We've got all the things that we're on. For example, we're on Facebook, Pinterest, YouTube, Twitch. All of that is Goblins Corner. We're
on and Twitter.
We're all the time. We're on Twitter on Goblins Corner. And Instagram, The Goblins Corner. And at some point, we'll be on something else, I'm sure. And you can find us everywhere you listen to podcasts.
I hope you have a great night.
Yeah. So think about those flumps, guys, because you shouldn't be killing them. You're going to hell. I'm just telling you. You're going to one of those hells.
You keep looking at me when you say that. I need you to look at the camera or something. I didn't kill any flumps. I want to be clear about this.
Goddamn flump killer. How dare you?
The next time we play an evil campaign, I'm going to make you regret this.
The destroyer of flumps?
Exactly. I'm going to just hunt them all down.
How dare you? That's all the time we have for tonight. Once again, my name is Eric.
And I'm Matt.
Have a great week. The Goblin's Corner is written and produced by Eric Holden and Matt Staples.
Show song by the Mighty D20.
What a wonderful guy.
This is a Subterranean production.
The end.